Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. It is Sarah, and thank you for joining our Toxic Person Proof podcast today, where we help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're excited about living. And I'm here with Crystal Denise Garcia, who's joining us from New York, New York. How are you, Crystal?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So Crystal is a self-love coach, a transformational speaker, and a dream facilitator. So you could see how like everything she does works with everything I do. Right. Yeah. So thank Absolutely. You for coming, Crystal. Tell us what does a self-love coach do?
Yeah, sure. So what I do is support just opening up and shedding all of the things to the actual being that we are, because I truly believe we are love. We already have everything we need inside ourselves. And then we just have accumulated things throughout the years that kind of block that understanding or block our own self-sight. And I think sometimes we have, and I mean, we're in a society that perpetuates and makes a lot of money off of our own self-loathing. So I help people detox from all of that programming to really see who they truly are, which I believe is love.
Well, I mean, that's so true. Like even every advertisement that we buy jeans because we don't like our butt. Mm-hmm. We buy makeup because we don't like our face. We buy, you know, I mean,
yes, all of that. Everything. It's all geared towards it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And even within my work, we talk about getting through healing and getting to growing. Because if you're trying to heal for your entire life, like forever, it's like,
then you'll be stuck. Yeah. You'll be running in place. But it's more like, exactly. Going from surviving, thriving.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 So what do you feel the blocks are to self-love other than messages from the outside?
So, so there's a lot there. And I believe, like, you know, Carl Jung speaks about the human shadow, and I can't tell you I'm a Jungian, you know, I just know the very basics of his definitions. But, you know, speaking of the human shadow, there's a lot of things that kind of gets put there. And then if we don't have a relationship with like the self-love and the self-tenderness in order to start to unlock the things that we've been told are so bad about ourselves. And some of those things, you know, I think we're used to it hearing about like it's so incredibly traumatic, but some things can be repressive and not necessarily super traumatic. I mean, there's some form of trauma, but they end up repressing the person. So like, let's say a little kid, you know, they make a photo and an art teacher, you know, happens to be nuts, you know, and it's just like, oh, what's that? You should never do that again. And it's actually happened to people. So that too can turn into a shadow material. They can turn into a very intense critic of art, you know, very bitter, you know, or very afraid to do art or just really shut down. And what I've found personally for myself is if I am not expressed authentically, then that can turn into depression. That can turn into rage, you know? And so I support people seeing, you know, as a dream facilitator too, is taking those innate talents and bringing them forward. Because a lot of the time, something that comes easy or something that we might be afraid to even look at that we're naturally good at can actually, if it's pushed aside, can create a lot of upset that we might not even be conscious of.
Interesting. That's really interesting. And there's such a huge difference even as you talk to adults about their childhoods, right? Yeah. And the kids who found something to feel successful in are such happier adults.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's important for us to see our own success. Goals are really important. They release endorphins, you know, so it's like healthy medicine from the brain. So being able to access, as one of my friends calls it, the medicine cabinet, you know, being able to access that, right? I like that too. I was like, being able to access our own medicine is really, it's putting just certain tools in place. Mm-hmm. And creating short-term goals as well as long-term goals and being able to see the success. It's about progress, not perfection. So perfection is another thing that kind of stifles that self-love, you know, this belief that we're going to be perfect. And Hollywood is entertainment, so it's supposed to look perfect, but that's not reality. You know, like we don't see behind behind the scenes, like where these Hollywood actors are, what they're dealing with, but they're physically human like us. They have the same bodily functions. You know, they have to deal with their own issues and self-love as well. So a lot of the things that were shown is very edited mm-hmm. and very, you know, fantasy oriented, which again is fine for entertainment. But when we try to translate that into our everyday lives, it doesn't work. And so we will constantly, if we measure ourselves to that rather than to our own authenticity, we will never measure up and we will never access the reality of who we truly are.
Well, even the golden age of movies, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was during the Great Depression. It was during a time of like World War. And mm-hmm. so people would escape to the movies. And the earliest movies, my favorite movie is The Wizard of Oz. And, you know, what a dream sequence. It was the first movie that was in color, right? So what a dream sequence to There's No Place Like Home. Like what a comfort within, you know, a country that's divided or World War or whatever it is, the Great Depression and an escape.
Yes.
And no one thought The Wizard of Oz is reality.
Right, exactly. And the cool part about The Wizard of Oz is even the glitz and glamour at the end was not as good as the simplicity of her being home.
Yeah.
So that's a cool message there too. But yeah, exactly. Like, you know, a lot of people are, I don't know how we've kind of come away from the recognizing that that is escapism and that's healthy and fun. And especially now, you know, in the situation we are in, but to measure our own humanity to it, that's where it crosses the line. Mm-hmm. And so this massive comparison that we're constantly used to, instead of the recognizing of our own authenicity, apologize for the sirens.
Yeah, I threw in the shoes from New York at the beginning on purpose because she warned me. She said, now, you know, in New York City, we can't really control what's happening behind us. Yeah. I said, in my neighborhood, I can't control if the neighbor's mowing. It's just the reality of 2020. We're stuck in our houses.
Yeah, exactly.
We're stuck in our houses.
Yeah. So we just got to go with the
flow.
So, yeah. So it's, we're not really told. We don't really live in a society yet. I do believe it. We're making changes or we're making healthier changes, but we don't really live in a society that's constantly letting us know there's no one else like you. Mm-hmm. Not a single person in the billions of people on this planet. You are the only one that is you. You are the only one that has your particular unique gifts. And sometimes people think that those gifts have to look like something like, it has to be like art or it has to be writing, or it doesn't have to look like that. Just living is an art itself. Like just simply being is an art. We don't have to do anything to be that authentic gift to this world. And so to me, I see, like I say that self-love activism is the most powerful form of activism because simply in that being, like the way we walk around, the way we talk to people, we inspire others. It's how I got inspired in my journey. You know, I got to see how someone else was just simply being. And I was like, wow, I want that. What does that look like? Is that, you know, and so it's, I think that's so important is to recognize that we are truly whole exactly as we are. Even, you know, we're all a little bit of a hot mess and that's beautiful. You know, it's human. We're supposed to be. I think, the pressure of trying to seem like we have it all together when nobody really does. And what does all together mean anyway? Like, is it just a specific mold that we need to conform to? And that has had its place because of survival mechanisms, right? Survival skills, survival of the species. Don't do this. Don't go outside. Don't do that because you'll die. Okay. Well, now I believe we're in a place where we can start to let go of some of those mechanisms and start to thrive now, start to enjoy life, what looks like authentically for us. And with that deep self-love, that's it beginning within, then I can have more space to have that compassion for other people.
And I think that's so important too. Like a lot of my ladies would be in the dating space, you know, redoing life over. And if you've been in a relationship and then you get left or rejected or cheated on or something along those lines, and then there's the new girl. Yeah. Right. And it's so easy to see only the Instagram version of the new girl,
right?
You know, the new relationship and the new situation. And I've talked to people about branding. And in some ways, we are all our own PR firms.
Absolutely.
With the social media stuff, right? And so if this new couple and this new situation and this new guy and this new whatever is trying to make it seem like everything's perfect over there, so you feel insecure.
Right.
That we have the platform to do it now. It is called social media.
Right.
You know, 200 years ago, if you got dumped by the boy on the street, like you wouldn't have to see him every, you know,
right.
you you might run into him at the feeding trough, or I don't know, you know. Whatever that would be. You may run into them every once in a while, but you don't get bombarded every time you try to check a text to see if your kids text you or your mom or, you know, it's just a different world. So that piece of recognizing.
Yeah. It definitely takes more now, for sure. Yeah. It definitely takes more now because, like you said, we're being bombarded consistently. We have access. We have that instant gratification hit, whether it's for something good, something that puts us down. Mm-hmm. So either way, we're getting instant gratification. You know, we're also getting the instant self-loathing gratification as well.
Yes. So when you think about how to get over this, if you've had maybe a parent, you know, obviously in a perfect world, you know, we would have had, our parents would have given us that love, given us that self-worth, given us that, helped us direct in activities to know who we are. There's a whole concept of reparenting yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's, and so reparenting powerful. Self-love. Yeah. What advice would you give to people who maybe had a less than ideal childhood and it's a reflected their journey with self-love?
Yeah, totally. So, well, I did. So I qualify, you know, you're not alone.
I knew you did.
I'm like,
can't.
I qualify. I qualify completely. So me, it was, the inner parenting is so powerful. It's so necessary. I really had to start to spend time with my inner child. And I started to have to recognize where I was violating my own boundaries, you know, either with my body, either with how I was communicating with myself, either with how I was eating or what I was consuming and all of these other things. I had to recognize how I needed to get healthier with myself and my relationship with me, and how I needed to forgive myself and slow down and have that special time with myself. And so for me, it was, I had coaching, I had therapy, you know, and I had to do, of course, my own work because, you know, coaching and therapy, it's fine. It's powerful.
It's a guide. It's a guide.
Exactly. Yes. But yes. it can't do the work for me. I had to do the work.
Yes.
So many, many years of work and learning what my boundaries are, learning how to communicate them effectively. Because, you know, when I first started, I was like, you know, like yelling my boundaries to people because I didn't really.
And that's a really important point, right? Yeah. Like that, I would just want to give some grace and space in that situation. Because many times it's like, oh, I feel like I'm being mean. And it's like, well, maybe at the beginning you are. But what happened is there were probably 30 years that you should have said that. And you didn't. Yes. So finally, when you get up the nerve to say it and it comes across a little angry, it's all the anger from the 30 years. It's not you're a horrible person.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So it has to come out, however it's got to come out. And at first it's going to be messy.
And it's okay.
You know, yeah. But people love you. They'll get it, you know, and you'll find your own flow. Like for me, I had to find my own tempo. And another thing I realized that as I became healthier in my relationship with myself, as I began to recognize my own inner parenting, for me, that included the 12-step programs. That included sobriety. So I had to learn how to inner parent my inner addict, which was run often by my inner child having a freak out temper tantrum, trying to figure out what to do in an adult body with no coping skills from any child, you know, from, I mean, have a healthy childhood. So there was no healthy coping skills. So it was just a little kid running the show all the time. So having to recognize the distinction between my adult self and when my inner child is getting hurt over something, but my adult self is like, everything's fine. Yeah. You know, everything's okay in the space. But then also taking that time, like, you know, recognizing there are going to be times that I can't just stand, you know, stand there and be with my inner child and just let it pour. I can put, you know, tell the little child, we're going to handle this in a little while. And then when I'm on my own, take that time and just myself, let's cry or let my body shake in fear or hit the pillow with my anger and really take that time, let my inner child express and then ask my inner child, okay, what do you want to do? What do you really want to do? Because I'd have to get underneath the layers of, you know, the acting out behavior, the addict behavior, the shadow, but underneath is just my hurt little child. And I'm like, what do you really want to do? I want to color. I want to paint. I want to finger paint. I want to throw confetti in the air. You know, it doesn't have to have a purpose. And I really found that giving my inner child just a space to do whatever it wants. Like, I like having construction paper. My inner child loves gluing the little tissue paper, like I remember from like kindergarten, you know, so sometimes I just do that, you know, and so I think it's also to let go of when being with the inner child, let go of the adult view of what that should look like, because the inner child needs time to just play and be silly and just have fun in a healthy environment. So teaching myself that. So what I did notice though, is when I started to get healthier with myself, I started to recognize the unhealthy relationships around me. And that's included.
I want to point out something here. Yeah, don't forget what you're saying, but I want to point out something really important here. One, we cannot, I mean, I hear all these people and they're like, oh, you know, I'm really crappy to myself, but I'm really hoping to find someone to be good to me. And it's like, are you for real right now? Like, so you're not willing to invest in yourself. You're not willing to commit to yourself. You're not willing to have any integrity towards yourself or your boundaries, but you're hoping to land Mr. Right.
Yeah. No, it's not going to happen.
Or have a great friend or a great career. It's not going to happen. Mm-mm. And that is that reparenting of yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And another thing I want to point out that's really important is when you talked about your authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because right now, I feel like there's a dialogue that your authentic self means emotionally vomiting on others.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's definitely look at that.
I want to have a conversation.
There is a massive disconnect with authenticity and inner child running the show. So definitely let's talk about that because
so few people can have this conversation too. Like so few people can have this conversation. Like, yeah, you're authentic. You tell your story, girl. And it's like,
wait, boundaries. You know, first of all, if you don't have boundaries, it's not authentic. Let's put that, let's put that in place right away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to say whatever I want and I'm just me and I'm authentic. Well, actually, no, what I had to learn was that was acting out behavior. And that was my inner child running the show, running amok and having temper tantrums all over the place. That's not authenticity. That's powerlessness.
Or crying tantrums. It may not be a temper tantrum. It may be just like sobbing and needing mommy to come fix it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And you said something that I just absolutely adore, which is so true. Having integrity with self.
Yes.
Because self-loathing is out of integrity. It's not part of who we are. It's not being in integrity with who we are and with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, also like you said, okay, I'm just going to fall apart into a puddle. And I'm not saying crying's bad, but this is not what we're talking about. Right. But just constantly it can actually become very dominating, emotional domination. Yes. So that is, and also violating other people's boundaries by not saying, I find it good sometimes to check in and be like, something's coming up for me. Do you have space for this? And then if a person says no, then okay, cool. You know what? I'll take it to myself or I'll take it to, you know, therapy is always the best place to take it to first. But I ask, if I'm about to say something heavy, I ask my friends, do you have space for this? Because that's a healthy boundary. So when people do that, just verbally vomit, that is a complete just lack of boundaries. It's not self-care and it's not self-love. So people think they've confused this tantruming behavior with self-love. Well, I'm loving myself by saying whatever I want. Well, actually, no, because then, you know, it doesn't have a healthy boundary. Like, that's what therapy is for. You want to say whatever you want. It's a healthy space. You're, you know, there's a dynamic. This
that is not what first dates are for, ladies. Like, I just want to be so. And it's not what every time you meet with your girlfriends is supposed to be for.
Exactly. Exactly. And I had to learn that because I was so in that cycle and I was so addicted to my victim mentality that I thought that that was connection. I was so addicted to my victim mentality that I thought that it was connection. I had confused victim mentality with intimacy. I had confused lashing out at people with intimacy. That's not intimacy. It's not intimacy with myself. It was actually intimacy avoidance. Because if I'm like, blah, 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 that the whole thing of like verbally vomiting on people is really a panicked way. It's a fear-driven way to actually not be with what I was saying myself and to push other people away to avoid being intimate with them. Because there's a certain way of dialoguing. Again, asking permission, do you have space for this? And if they say no, not be like, well, you don't love me. No. That's a healthy boundary. No, period. No is a full sentence, you know?
Well, and I also think it's people like, here, let me, you know, first meeting someone here, let me emotionally vomit my victimhood and connect over that. And then it's like, oh, we're close friends now, or we're deep friends. Mm-hmm. And it's like, an addiction is something out of your control. Mm-hmm. And so if your emotional vomiting, if your need to tell your story, if your need to talk about the worst things that have happened to you over and over and over again are out of your control, that's an addiction.
Absolutely.
It's not healthy. It's not authenticity. It's not being you. And that's kind of, I've said too, it's like, why is the only thing, like, I'm being me, the only option to be me is to say the worst things that have ever happened to me.
Right. Yeah. And so that's where people confuse intimacy with trauma bonding, because that's not intimacy.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's trauma bonding. So, like, a lot of people, they think, oh, well, we're getting close. Sure. You're creating a very codependent trauma bonding connection. That's not intimacy. That's just clinging to someone to avoid self. Again, that's another form of self-avoidance and intimacy avoidance. Mm-hmm. So people have confused this, like, brash behavior with connection. It's not. It's actually a great way to avoid connection and then blame other people and slight them by saying, oh, you just don't love me because this is just who I am. No, actually, you're being harmful and nobody should ever have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, like that whole saying, if you don't love me at my worst, then you can have me at my best. If you don't love me at my worst, that's healthy. You have healthy boundaries. Good for you. You should.
Okay. Next time I come to New York City, like, we are just, I just need to, like, hug you right now. And I mean, I really, like, I'm almost tearing up because, like, they're so, the conversation among women is not this.
No, it's not.
It is not this. And I went to the National Success Summit and I had all these, like, there were all these men and they were, like, self-made millionaires and all that kind of stuff. And awesome for them. No women on the stage. Okay. No women on the stage other than the cheerleader at the beginning. And then I looked and saw the bestseller list for women. And it was, women are buying books that you emotionally vomit.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I was not, like, healthy. And that's the antithesis of the conversations I have, because for me, I actually, I have a conversation called Loving and Celebrating Men, which is my Me Too story of healing. So I share with people and I guide people through that journey as well. If they're trying to heal the perception, because the reality is there was no way I could be free until I healed that perception. And until I started to work on my own, there's a difference between being a victim and living in victim mentality. And then,
you know, and if females, we want to see to the table, we want to be taken seriously. We want to be the ones on the stage at the National Success Summit. Absolutely. Let's build success in things other than emotionally vomiting on each other and thank people for it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And so, and there's no power in it.
No.
So, and that's the thing is, what I've experienced is there's often domination, emotional manipulation is confused for power, but that's powerlessness. Mm-hmm. Power is sovereignty, is recognizing the innate power simply in our own being, you know, just loving ourselves as we are. And love does not dominate. Love does not need power over, because that's not power. So I think it's a very important conversation to recognize that not having healthy boundaries is not powerful. Verbally vomiting on people is a lack of proper boundaries. And if people don't put up with that, that's healthy on their part.
And if you're in the dating space or in the friendship space, you're turning off the Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, you know, friendship or whatever relationship you're in, you know, and, you know, they're like, oh, whoa. And I talk about personal branding. And I think too many women go through and their personal brand without them realizing it is she who needs to be healed.
Yes.
And what they're trying to come across is like, I'm just authentic. You know, I'm telling my story. I'm this, I'm that, I'm connecting. I'm being authentic and really me. And it's like, if the only thing authentic is about you is the worst things that have ever happened to you, you're never going to be self-loved. You're never going to be connected to your power. And you are saying your brand is the only true me are the worst things. Like, and then you're trying to take that on a date.
Right. It doesn't work. I don't know where it became. And we live in a society where it's like misery is seen as like this sexy thing for some reason. And I had to move through that too. You know, I actually had someone tell me it's not sexy and it's not romantic to be like so engorged in misery, and it becomes gluttonous.
Yeah.
It becomes gluttonous and it's, know what it stems from, but I, at the end of the day, it's just, it's not powerful. It's not powerful. It's not self-loving and there's no freedom in it.
Well, it can become an identity.
Yes.
Like, oh, she overcame. And that's what, you know, with toxic relationships, I said, I don't want you to be a, you know, even a survivor of a toxic relationship. I just want you to be a kick-ass individual.
Right.
Who also, like, your past. And it was like, oh, I would never have imagined that would have happened to her.
Right.
Not
exactly.
You know, like, oh, I'm healing from the toxic relationship. I'm a survivor of the toxic. Then it's all about the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not who we are.
No.
There's going to be many challenges and many trials, and some of them are more intense than others. And some of them are super brutally intense. But the reality is we can heal. We're human. We're resilient. We can heal from pretty much anything.
But we have to choose to.
Yes. It's a choice.
It's a choice. And it's not a, I have never met anyone who figured out how to pray the right prayer, do the right meditation. And I'm not insulting God. I'm not insulting God. It's like saying, you know, I'm really hoping if someone says, I'm really hoping to pay for my kids' college, and my strategy is just to pray for the winning lottery numbers, we would say, well, that seems like not the best strategy, right? And it's the same thing in your healing journey. You know, it's not taking any power away from God. It's saying God has empowered you.
Yes.
And putting people in your life, you know, or universe or whatever, you know, I want to, you know, all people, but empowering you to do the work. And we live in a day and age where it's available to you 200 years ago.
It's so easy now.
Yes.
It's so easy. I mean, it's simple, but the work is hard, but the access is easy, you know?
And that's so good. Yeah.
It's just ease of access all over the place, but it does take work and it's uncomfortable. The thing is, people are so used to the feel good. They think everything has to feel good, but actually a little bit of awareness, feel good is the basis of addiction. Mm-hmm. So when people like, I want to feel good. Okay. But I prefer to be joyful. Joyful is sustainable. Feeling good is very temporary, and getting addicted to feeling good, you know, just keeps one away from sustainable joy.
And it's surface level.
Yeah.
There's no depth in that. You know, who respects the person who looks up to the person who just always feels good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's uncomfortable. Growing is uncomfortable. You know, like to grow is uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good.
Well, Crystal, tell us about our book. We're definitely going to come in for part two, but tell us about your book, and we'll put your info in the show notes, and then we will continue this conversation in part two with Crystal Denise Garcia.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So I'm in the editing process right now. I'm putting together the book proposal. So it's called Loving and Celebrating Men, A Woman's Journey into Recovery. And so it's my personal journey of when I began to challenge my perception of men and how that challenging that opened up an entire world to me. I flipped my world right side up and I got all this freedom. I began to access my joy. I found my authentic voice. I began to heal. And it was very interesting because men actually helped me heal my relationship with women too, which is something I did not expect. So it's been a powerful journey. It opened me up to realize I'm not alone. You know, men are dealing with trauma as well. And together we can all work through this. So.
Awesome. Well, more from Crystal on part two. And Crystal, thanks for joining us to learn how to become toxic person proof.
Thank you.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become toxic person proof.